go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
I'm Ben. We are joined, as always, by our super producer, Noel. I don't want to give too much of this away. He's not going to get a nickname today.
Oh, okay.
No, just our super producer, Noel Brown.
What a twist.
Well, it is a bit of a twist, Scott, because this is the return of our mystery show series.
Oh, I see. So, in other words, everybody except for me will know what this is already right now because they've looked at the topic.
Yes, the title of the show.
The title. So, yeah, okay. All right.
Very alone in the world right now, my friend.
I feel alone, but I'm ready. I'm feeling good.
So this is something that popped up in the news recently as we record this and pertains to some of our earlier episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe get out some paper and a pen.
I will make some notes.
So a while back we had talked about one of the darker sides of autonomous vehicles, which was the idea of security. You know, how safe are these things actually?
Okay.
And some news just hit that changed the entire game. In our previous episodes, remember, you and I, and sometimes with Jonathan Strickland, our occasional guest host from Tech Stuff, we talked about this stuff with these great caveats that made people feel a little safer. And the idea was, you know, some people, yes, they managed to hack a car, but they did it by having a physical connection to the onboard system.
Yeah, so it can be done, but come on, you're going to have somebody in the back seat with you on a laptop.
Right.
Tapped in.
They'll have to be very sneaky.
Yeah, really, really sneaky.
And the point being, the most comforting thing there is the idea that while this is theoretically possible, the hackers would have to have physical access to the vehicle.
So possible, but improbable.
Yeah, perfect way to put it. Until that is, everything changed earlier this summer.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Chinese hackers were able to attack Tesla electric cars from far away, from what? Remotely.
Why is it always Tesla?
Well, I don't know. Tesla, yeah, I guess because Tesla would be considered one of the epitomes of, like, the future cars right now.
I guess, yeah. Okay, there's probably...
Or maybe that's probably just the OS they were able to crack.
Yeah.
That's their security, we were able to crack it. So these researchers at a place named Keen Security Lab, these weren't, you know, gangs or anything, they demonstrated their hacks on a Tesla Model S, P85, and 75D, and they're going to continue working on other Tesla models. But here's the frightening thing, Scott. They were able to control these cars, you know, like unlock doors, fold mirrors, activate brakes and stuff, up to 12 miles away without physically modifying or touching the car. So they could do stuff that would make driving dangerous, for instance, you know, like all of a sudden the brakes slam.
Oh, boy.
You know? And the company says, you know, this stuff is important because it's better to learn about it immediately and get it to the manufacturer and get it corrected. A Tesla spokesperson said within just 10 days of receiving the report, Tesla's already deployed an over-the-air software update that addresses the potential security issues. The issue demonstrated is only triggered. Okay, here's how it works. I'm going to interrupt that quote. All right, so it works when the driver of the car touches or connects with a malicious Wi-Fi hotspot. Just when they get that Wi-Fi ping, right?
Yeah.
Because who wants to pay extra on their data plan, right?
Of course not. Yeah.
And they open a web browser. That's when it strikes. And there's a...
It's as easy as that? I mean, that's...
It's easy as that.
It's really easy.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is not the only... This is not the only example of a car that's been hacked. I mean, people pick on Tesla sometimes in the headlines.
Yeah, but that's what I was getting at. That it seems like we hear about this all the time with Tesla. There's got to be there has to be other examples.
Yeah, man, Chrysler got like 1.4 million cars recalled in 2015 because a team of hackers got into a Jeep. They remotely controlled it?
Yeah, I think I remember that one. Some of them do make news, but it seems like Tesla's the one that just constantly in the headlines with this type of stuff. They're worried. They're concerned about it. And I guess that's good, right?
Yeah. They said that their realistic estimate was that the risk to the customers is very low, but they wanted to respond quickly.
Yeah.
And Chrysler had to send, I think they had to send a physical thing like a USB stick or something, but Tesla is able to just update the firmware.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I don't know if I missed this in the initial read-through there, but was this a malicious attack, or was this something that they did to prove a point and then go to Tesla and say, you've got an opening, a break in the system?
Prove a point.
To prove a point. So
yeah.
They could have done something really bad with this. They chose not to. They took the high road in this case and said, here's how you can improve your technology.
Yeah, they were they're professionals doing this. They're not, you know, some kids hanging out in the internet cafe saying, let's ruin things.
You know, I almost wonder in this case, and I don't expect you to know the answer to this by any means, but I wonder if Tesla, did they ever compensate them for something like this? You know, are they hired to do something like this? Do you think Tesla as a corporation says, just, you know, I want you to try to expose any weakness we have because then we can correct it and we're that much better?
Yeah.
Or do you think that it's more like, I don't know how all this would work either. We've never heard of this, but if he invites hackers to try to hack into the vehicle, and then if you come to me with a problem that we can verify and replicate again, you know, you get this kind of like a bonus, like a bounty almost.
Like a prize.
Yeah, yeah. And again, we benefit from that. I wonder how all that works, really.
I wonder, too, some of that may be behind the scenes.
Oh, I bet it's all behind the scenes.
But you can check out a video of these guys demonstrating the hack. They've got a pretty solid blog where they talk about the research in depth. And they were working on Tesla cars for several months. And they found multiple security vulnerabilities that were reporting. But this goes to the bigger question. So there are going to be automated cars, autonomous cars in the future, very, very soon, actually. And there are going to be networks of autonomous cars in the future, you know, probably starting in more high-income, high-density areas where it's inconvenient to own a car, but people will pay to have just a network of things,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there will be war between the Ubers and the taxis. I mean, a market competition, you guys, not like
sure.
street fights.
And even within, like, Lyft
yeah.
is another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, okay.
So what also is going to happen, I advance to you, is that a criminal element will begin learning other methods of intrusion. And so I wanted to ask, do you think these vehicles can be considered safe in this regard?
Oh, so, okay, well, they've already demonstrated that there are weaknesses right now. Of course, they'll dial those out so that, you know, those won't be available in the future, but there
Which
will be others.
Yeah.
There'll be something new. Once you correct this, then that opens up this end, or at least you find that. You know, it was always there, but we just didn't exploit it until now. Man, will a criminal element use that to their advantage? And it could be, boy, you could hold a car for ransom, couldn't you? You know what? What if you held a family for ransom? If you were able to hack a vehicle, drive it to whatever location that may be, let's just call it an old warehouse down by the docks, because you know that's where you do that kind of thing. So you do that, and you keep the doors locked in the vehicle. You're doing this remotely from outside.
Mm-hmm.
Drive the vehicle right in front of you. Roll down the windows just enough for them to speak to you, and you communicate to them what's going on. Unless you give us your bank account and empty out your funds, we're keeping you here. What do you think of that?
Oh,
not
man.
That I've thought this out or anything.
Not that you thought this out.
No.
Well, first off, you wouldn't want to identify yourself.
Not true. Okay.
You would want to have, you know, you would want to have them come up to a robot or something in this world.
Okay.
Or come up to like some, what's the word?
Well, like a two-way piece of glass maybe or something.
Yeah.
Like,
or so,
something
like,
super low-tech.
Or go kind of creepy with it and hire like a young scamp to read the note to them. That's messed up. That's super villain level.
How about this? Okay. Now that we're talking about this and we're on this pathway.
Yeah.
I should just open up about what I was talking with about somebody here in the office not long ago.
Hello.
With you know these autonomous vehicles, especially Tesla. Let's say that you can go completely hands-free. What does that do for things like drive-by shootings?
Oh, wow.
It's something a lot of people haven't really thought about.
And I didn't consider that.
No, and when I mentioned this the other day in the car, my wife, we were talking about some stuff, autonomous cars and things, and I mentioned that, and she looked at me like, what are you thinking about? Like, why would you even consider that? But I think it's a real possibility. Now, think about the way... This is terrible. This is like it's like the true crime angle coming out.
Yeah.
All right, so the way that something like that happens now is that there's got to be at least two people in the vehicle, if not more. And, I mean, you and I know, reading the books that we read and, you know, hearing the stories that we hear, two people with, you know, that's a possibility for someone to rat the other one out always, right?
Right.
So now this kind of solves that problem for that element of society that doesn't really want a second person in the vehicle, no witnesses. It's like you keep the secret, that's it. It's done.
But, okay, I will play your reindeer games here. But the secret is not just between you, because an autonomous car will almost certainly have to have GPS, and having that GPS almost certainly means that it is possible, as we become more of a Big Brother surveillance state, it is possible that people investigating the murder could say, well, give us a report of all the cars that drove past there.
I see. And Tesla, why don't you report in and, we see you have one of your vehicles that passed by there at 1:40 a.m. That's right at the time of the shooting. Okay, so I get it. All right, you know what? I've taken us down a different path that we didn't really intend to go. But
no, I think this is great because it's part of the concern.
The criminal element thing. I mean, I guess that's maybe confusing to me. Like, what beyond actual, you know, causing harm to somebody or causing it to, you know, create an accident that then is a distraction for something else to happen, maybe? That's another angle, I guess, maybe?
Yeah.
It seems like there's all kinds of things that, you know, somebody with bad intent could cause chaos with a vehicle like this.
Right, yeah. So currently, as of 2016, you can hear hackers described in a couple of wide common groups, right? Broad categories. There's a Finnish security expert named Mikko Hipponen, and he arranges the categories of hackers thus. Good white hat hackers, like our boys at Keen, who break security so a weakness can be found, reported, fixed. Ultimately, everybody's a little better off.
It's like a controlled experiment.
Yeah, yeah.
Semi-controlled.
Activist hackers, who I would say maybe also qualifies ideological hackers. Like this would be like someone like Anonymous.
And making a point.
Yeah, they're politically motivated, but they're not active. They wouldn't consider themselves criminals even if they're doing something that would be considered criminal.
Okay.
Because for greater good, hackers. Nation states and foreign intelligence agencies, this is the scary part, a growing issue over the past 10 years. So in one of the other shows that I do, Stuff They Want You Know, we explored the reports of people being assassinated by a car, right? There was a guy named Michael Hastings who died in a fiery car accident, and people around the internet were convinced that this guy was a victim of some sort of hacking into his vehicle. However, at this point, that's primarily speculation.
Yeah.
There's no hard evidence of this.
So those are the people that immediately went to the darkest criminal element, like what I did in my examples.
Well, yeah. Or they would say, like, an intelligence agency did it. And now that we know in some cases it's possible to do this without physical access, mm-hmm. it really makes you think, because this is a private research firm. What would happen if a economically successful country ask themselves the same question or solve the same problem? It's spooky stuff. I don't have any proof that there would be something like this going on, but the fact that it's in the realm of possibility makes that pretty frightening. And then on the other side, they would have Mikko also has what he calls supporters of extremism, and he says ISIS is the only real credible threat for that thus far. But I know it's ideological as well, so you might debate about separating those categories, but that could be very dangerous in the military system, mm-hmm. right? And then criminals, of course. And Hiponen says they make about 95% of all malware, and they use it to make millions of dollars. But just imagine, man, a world where Noel hops into his car, turns the ignition, and instead of starting, he gets a little message on his pop-up display, or maybe it's something cool on the windshield, right? Mm-hmm. And it says, your car's been hacked. Deposit $10 or 10 bitcoins or something, probably
so
bitcoins.
Closer to the scenario of where the family was held for ransom.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got it. But without actually driving them to a location and meeting them, you could actually do this completely electronically from Noel's driveway or wherever he is. Just keep him secured in the vehicle. There's nothing anybody can do to get him out.
And so here's the thing. There's a place called the Insurance Information Institute. And they say that they sell cyber insurance, and that's going from $2 billion in 2015. Already people are saying $2 billion, and he predicts there will be $7.5 billion in 2020. Oh, by he, I mean Robert Hartwig, the president.
Cyber insurance. This is the very first time I've heard that term.
Yeah.
Cyber insurance.
I ran into it as
well. I don't know. I'd hold off on getting cyber insurance for it.
Yeah, I'm not condoning it, but they also estimate that by 2030, 25% of all cars sold will be autonomous, which I think is, I don't know, I'm not sure about that statistic.
Feels like a high estimate, but then again, when we started this show, we thought self-driving cars would never be possible.
Yeah.
No way, there's no way, but things change really fast now.
Yeah.
So we've learned to never say never, but we can be skeptical, but it does seem like an awful high number.
Well, people are more and more arguing that eventually human drivers will be banned from the public roadways. They'll be more like they'll be on racetracks and stuff, but I don't think that'll work in a lot of rural areas.
Have you been talking to Jonathan Strickland?
No, but that's his dream. He hates driving.
I know
it. He doesn't drive.
It seems like every time I go and I host on his show or guest host on his show, every time he's telling me how, humans are going to be considered, it's going to be illegal for humans to drive at some point. And he loves to throw that out in my face that's going to happen. And every time we get into an argument about it. Every time.
See, the problem is with a lot of those assumptions, people have a base assumption beneath it, which is that everything will continue smoothly. This is a big world, and a lot things go wrong much more often than they go right when you're pursuing new innovations in technology.
Yeah, so this disruptive technology that they like to call it. Well, they call it disruptive because it disrupts the entire industry.
Yeah.
I would say that in the last, since we've been on the air, autonomous vehicles or self-driving vehicles or autopilot or whatever you want to call them, self-steer, all those systems, that's all disruptive technology, I would think, because it's really shaking up the auto industry.
It's
causing a lot of changes and also causing prices to go up in the vehicles that we purchase. But, man, this is an interesting topic. I mean, I don't know if I'm taking it the right way, though. Like, you have a different scope of this whole thing, I think, because you've got more of the state departments get in on this and national governments. And
I'm just saying it's possible. I know I sound like a crazy tinfoil hat guy here, but the advantage it could provide, the money it could make, and the money that they could put into it.
You know what? I guess I was just saying, I wasn't trying to say that you're some conspiracy crazy guy or anything, but I was saying that my initial knee-jerk reaction was to go to, the small dollar, or small criminal, I guess, small dollar crimes, if you can call it that, the extortion, the kidnapping, where no one gets hurt, but you get a lot of money changes hands.
The spying as well?
Yeah, the spying, and of course, the drive-by thing, come on, no one do that, by the way. But, as Ben pointed out, there are ways to track that still. It's still a bad idea. But I was just wondering, it's almost kind of like you joke about it, but it's probably going to happen someday.
Well, here's another thing. You could also do murder by car by having someone take an autonomous vehicle and force it to collide in a fatal accident with another vehicle.
Yeah, and we've seen elements of that in France at the street fair, the Bastille Day, the drive-through, the crowd. That's the big fear, is that next time, what if there isn't a driver behind the wheel and they can't stop it in the way that they did this time?
Right, exactly.
Because they had to physically stop the driver from proceeding. The truck wasn't going to stop. That could be just horrific. So there's all different levels of this. You know, there's the small end.
Street level.
Yeah, street level, I guess. And then there's the bigger picture. And mm-hmm. The big picture is pretty scary. It can be scary.
Especially when we see that more and more autonomous vehicles or the idea is catching on. A lot of very smart people are putting a lot of time and money into this. And also, you know, I wish we had time enough to talk about hacking drones and what happens if that occurs. But with just that barest mention, we'll have to be satisfied until we do a different episode. The good thing about autonomous cars, which I feel like we have to say, is that they could reduce accidents by an estimated 80%.
And I believe that. I mean, I really do.
I do too.
I've seen so many accidents around town here where people are texting and driving. Mm-hmm. It's so prevalent here. It's unbelievable. Even with the laws the way they are, that you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, there is a law.
It's unreal how many people every single day I see texting on the road. We're going fast, slow, whatever it is. Stop and go. Which to me seems like where the most accidents happen is the stop and go stuff. I know it's dangerous at high speeds, but it seems like those really small, bumper to bumper type collisions, the low impact ones, those happen just so frequently on the road. They're all around me. It's terrible. So hopefully, if people get behind the wheel of something that has that automatic stop, I know it's not preventing their bad behavior behind the wheel. It's probably right. accelerating that behavior.
I see that,
but. I don't know. Maybe it's a good idea because it'll bring our insurance premiums down a little bit or something. You know, at least keep my bumper safe because I've been hit a couple times. Just by somebody who is rolling ahead at a stoplight, and I assume that they were texting, but you can't prove it.
Yeah, it'd be so hard to prove.
Yeah, it really would. And no damage. Just bump me. It's an inconvenience more than anything. But
Okay, so you didn't get your insurance involved?
No, neither time. It's frustrating when it happens.
Yeah,
it wasn't even in the car I'm driving now. It was in my other car.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we are going to head out today, but before we do, we want to hear your opinions. What do you think that 25% of all cars sold will be autonomous by 2030? Will they be safe, or will they be just treasure troves for hackers? And if so, what kind of hackers?
Will they ever be hack-proof? Because I don't think they can be.
Yeah, will it be like another? Will it be like another layer to the death-proof car quest? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does being a death-proof car now mean it also must be impenetrable to hackers?
I would say that it'd have to, because if somebody can control your vehicle and drive you right off a cliff or mm-hmm. into a lake or, whatever. I mean, that's something that you wouldn't normally do behind the wheel yourself. So, it can force you to enter into some crazy situation that you wouldn't have foisted on yourself by driving.
And then would you feel safer in a car that wasn't connected to this pervasive cloud?
Yeah, Boy, I don't know. This is a huge can of worms. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, really, getting to the point where a car is 100%, protected, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to go shift away from aluminum to lead vehicles so that no signals can get through or out.
Well, while Scott and I are repurposing our cars, you're right. Tinfoil doesn't really do anything.
No, it's got to be lead. It's got to be lead. Thick lead. Now, I bet that's going to do something to our fuel economy. We'll have to find out what it is.
Yeah, and so I'll go check on the prices of bulk lead.
What a great idea.
Yeah, work-related. And we will be back next week. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about autonomous driving, we have probably too many episodes for me to name here that touch on it. And you can check all of them out by visiting us at carstuffshow.com. But wait, as Billy Mays was wont to say, there's more. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are CarStuffHSW.
Yep, and if you want to reach out to us via email, we are carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.